All right, we are live from the Frot Quarters. We got an early Frotcast this week. The entire crew is here. The ear rapist, Ben. This is me. We do have Vince, blogger extraordinaire, is here.
Hey.
Brett is here. I think Brett's here.
Do you don't get an intro thing?
What would you like to be?
I don't know.
Grumpy Brett?
I don't even care.
And Sleepy Giant Brendan is here.
Hey now!
And we do
That's good. Is that taken? Did someone say hey now?
No.
Okay.
Never heard that
I'm going to take that one.
And we do have Joe King. Comedian Joe King is blooped in live as we speak. Joe King.
Come!
That's what he is here for. We're going to talk to Joe King. We got some good emails this week, so thanks everybody. Frotcast@gmail.com. And then Vince had some news stories that he felt were newsworthy.
Indeed.
So
indeed
we might discuss them.
Yeah.
Joe, what's going on?
Dude, not much. Just crushing it, man.
Aren't you opening for Doug Benson tomorrow night or some shit like that?
Yeah, I'm on a show with Doug Benson and Joe Rogan tomorrow night at Sal's Comedy Hall in Hollywood. Whatever. I don't know. What are you guys doing tomorrow night?
Hey, big deal.
I
was on a show with this guy that knows Damon Wayans Jr. last night, so that's pretty good.
Ocean.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck Damon Wayans Jr.
Oh. I was going to say the same thing about Doug Benson. I heard he does a podcast like about movies or something, and I heard it just sucks balls. I heard fuck that guy. That's what I heard.
Well, it's not like he's in direct competition. It's not like we're talking about movies.
That's true. That's a good point.
Joe, I have a very serious question for you. So last week we talked about the World Bukkake Tour. Are you familiar with this?
No, what is it?
You know what? Let me
break it down for you.
We weren't exactly sure, but there are some adult actresses that are traveling around, somehow meeting with their fans. Participating in some sort of bukkake event is the way that I understood it.
Yeah, we were wondering if the fans are the ones that jizz on them, I guess, right? Was the main question.
Is it audience participation?
Do you have any insight into the bukkake world?
I just know that Japanese women love being covered in cum. They love it more than anything. And I think it's something in their DNA. And
it's
they just
cultural.
Like having cum
judge.
On their face. And it's not even for they're just the porn stars. It's just Japanese women in general love it. They love the way it feels. They love it when it's in their eyes, in their mouth.
For those of you uninitiated with Joe King, he was a porn cameraman in a past career.
A gig that I got him, by the way.
That Vince referred him.
And that
Did you get a referral fee for that?
That is a long, weird story.
What was the resume like? Hey, buddy, you know anybody with a camera?
Pretty much.
That doesn't mind shooting someone's balls really close.
I think that was exactly what the job entailed. Was just like basically asking Vince if he knew anybody that like would want to shoot porn.
Well, no, it was
a request for proposals.
Like, yeah, I know exactly the guy.
He asked me first, and then I thought, no, I don't really want to do that. But I do know a guy who gives even less of a fuck than I do. That you can call.
Yep.
That's pretty much how it went down. That's how Joe ended up shooting porn at an office building while people were gone on Sundays.
Yeah, it was an amazing experience. I got to shoot porn with some crackheads, and I got to learn all about the porn business. One of my favorite things was just learning that all of them have herpes, and like they all have like STDs and stuff. And
how did you know about herpes?
That's one of the reasons I think. Like,
did you have one of those blacklight like guns on a pen, like a little pen that shoots a blacklight gun that where you could see
herpes,
where you could see sores?
But like sometimes like with like Blu-ray porn, and you can like see the genital warts on these girls.
Do you have blue? Who watches Blu-ray porn? I thought everybody just sort of stole free porn off the internet.
I don't. Yeah.
Although
I think a higher resolution like adds to it, kind of makes it more. And then if you have like a big screen and you get right up in it, It's like you're there. You're fully immersed.
Yeah, it's like a kind of it's like a pelvic exam.
Immersed in genital warts.
But really, you watch Blu-ray porn on your TV on high def?
I have watched Blu-ray porn. I have jacked off to Blu-ray porn, but not at my house because I don't.
That would be weird.
But my brother-in-law does.
Hey, thanks for having me over, guys.
That is quite a rec room. Tell me, is that in the guest quarters?
No, I think I just like they
don't
were
give
on
me the
vacation
dead!
And I just roped one out in the living room.
So you guys are going to be gone for what, 3-4 hours? Perfect.
You guys can be gone for 10 minutes? Perfect.
Just don't come back early, please.
Because I have...
Have you guys ever beat off at work?
We were talking about that. None of us have, but...
I've considered it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, Vince, I think we all agreed that the risk of getting caught would, like, be too much to, like, let you get in the zone.
I think it's just a bad jerk when you're worried about people walking in on
you. Right,
I prefer to be at home on my couch, you know. Just nobody coming in.
Wearing your fancy hat.
Yeah. Well, I definitely wouldn't do it at the job I have now because like, I actually want to keep it, but I definitely have done it at previous jobs.
Don't you work from home now?
No, I have a different one. I don't. I got a different job.
Oh, you got a different job already?
Yep.
Was this a lateral move?
But like, I think it was just like, it wasn't even at work. It was just like, I was driving, from LA to San Diego and I was going to go sleep with this San Diego and she was really nice. And I was going to go have sex with her, and I didn't want to have a loaded gun. I wanted to go in there and be able to last a little bit. So I stopped off at a gas station, and I was, like, jacking off in one of the stalls. This dude came in and started to take a shit, and it was just, like, complete fucking... Like and it was like one of those situations. It was like the type of situation where I was like, "Dude, I have to come because I'm gonna go have sex with this girl. I'm gonna come in 2 seconds." So I continued to try to finish while this dude was next to me, but it was never gonna happen.
Was he whispering into your ear? I can hear what you're doing in there.
No, he's whispering farts.
Yeah, he
was whispering pretty stinky silent. Farts.
I wonder which is more embarrassing, that jacking off or that he was shitting.
Were you standing up or were you sitting on the toilet next to him?
I stand up and I'm on my tippy toes. I can send you a picture if you want.
like you're trying to reach the cookie jar of ejaculation.
Like a diehard, you have to go in there and take your shoes off and curl your toes into wherever you are.
No, I just post up on the tippy toes in my sneakers.
How do you think that's not noticeable to anyone walking in?
I don't know. I just feel like if a dude is in a stall, like, I already have a weird thing sometimes where, like an OCD thing where I'll be walking by the stall and dude will be in the stall and I'll look through the crack and then, but, like, I don't want to do it, but then I make myself do it. I don't know, that's weird.
And then I put.
Oh, it's natural, you know.
Now that I have a camera phone, I put that above the stall and take a quick picture. I just want to know who's in there. I'm so curious.
I don't want to be doing this, guy. I don't want to be doing this.
Who's in there? I just want to know what you look like.
So this is just a dry. This is just a dry truck stop jerk. Because that is way more imagination.
I
can muster these days.
Yeah, I've tried with. Do you just post internet and do you prop? I was
already like fired up and excited. Like I was already like my mind was just fucking racing because I knew I was gonna get laid.
Yeah.
Did you prop your phone up with some Facebook pics?
No, I just off my mind. When I'm ready, I can be focused and I can imagine really filthy stuff. I don't necessarily need porn. Porn
just,
helps.
Just any Asian.
But I can just go, any go
Japanese
deep into my
woman
brain.
Who might like bukkake.
Bukkake is the reason that God punished Japan with the tidal wave. Can you edit that out?
Yeah, we'll edit that out. Yeah, you never filmed any more than one dude in a scene at a time, did you? Never?
No, it was always just like it was always that one dude that we know that we were friends with.
Yeah, all right, fair.
So one dude, multiple women with herpes.
Yeah, tell me. I don't know how you can claim to know with certainty that they had herpes. I know. You said like some girl came in when her gonorrhea, or she got gonorrhea the day before, or something like that. Which that makes sense.
Dude, I guarantee they walk to, they go to that AIM clinic, and every time it's just they read off the results. They're like, okay, you don't have HIV, and you still have herpes, and you can go home now. It's guaranteed.
Well, we should just all get it to, you know, on purpose. That way, no one's stigmatized anymore.
That was the way I felt.
I was listening to Dr. Drew, who said a lot of women, especially in the porn industry, are going to have lots of problems with their butt from all the anal sex.
He's like Mr. Ivory Tower with his hate of anal sex.
Well, I just,
is that true?
That's what Dr. Drew
claimed.
What
was he saying? Elaborate.
Well, I don't remember exactly, but just a lot of
he seems
tears and issues with the rectum.
Weakened anal muscles. He seems to, Dr. Drew seems to have this
like,
thing
that's
where
no
he
big problem
thinks,
for Vince.
He thinks that like people never had anal sex before. Like, he thinks this is like all brand new and because of porn. And I'm sure it's more common, but don't act like people weren't butt fucking in the 1530s.
Yeah, man, the Romans.
Yeah, that was the high time for anal sex.
In the 1530s.
The 1530s.
Well,
the
no,
high
I mean,
period.
No, yeah, the Renaissance of anal sex.
They call it the raping 30s. You know, yeah. Weren't there?
That was the 1500s.
They raped you right out of space and time, right there.
Yeah,
that was the Roman Revolution. It was all.
I don't
about,
really keep track of space and time too well.
Yeah, it predates the 1530s, Vince.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well,
like, what do you think Caligula was doing?
Oh, he was like rigging a horse harness to
Ursa
make it
Form.
Have sex
that
with
was
girls.
Catherine the Great.
Oh, you think she didn't get the idea from Caligula? Please.
What evidence are you presenting?
I never heard that official story. I see it referenced everywhere. Did she fuck a horse?
I feel like that's the Rod Stewart cum belly of the 19th
it's
century.
A Richard Gere gerbil story of yore. She got so basically the rumor was that there was a horse. She would get a horse lowered onto her to bang her, and the harness broke, and she got squished.
Yeah,
that would be a bummer.
Catherine the Great.
Elizabeth Taylor?
Exactly. Catherine the Great, the former Empress of Russia. Get me a horse in here. It's not a Russian style.
Get
me a horse.
I would like horse.
I would
in
like
horse.
I would like horse in the vagina.
I would like horse fuck.
Brendan, what do you got some emails for us?
We can have
Joe help answer these.
I
for
think
us.
Joe should answer the.
We
relation.
Did have a couple actual questions in there, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we did. I think we just had one that I think we wanted to go over. So first of all, this is breaking news here, history on the Frogcast. I actually have to go back and apologize for something last week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is this the first time you've ever been wrong in your life?
It is.
Apologize.
It's a little bit rough.
Yeah. And you know, I still feel like I have one coming. Cause
maybe one day.
Yeah.
Maybe one day.
You know.
Don't hold your breath.
We'll get there.
No, I threw out the joke about we were talking about daytime judge shows, and I threw out the joke of like, what if Judge Reinhold got one because he'd be out of work? And apparently that was on Arrested Development. I don't remember. I watched all of them like 5 years ago when I was unemployed, but I don't remember that bit. So That was kind of a bummer because, you know, if that had been on Twitter, there would have been like so much indignance thrown my way.
Say the words.
Good thing it's on a podcast that no one listens to.
Hey, how dare you? Don't insult our listeners and us.
Say you're sorry.
I'm kind of sorry.
I like how we're in this day and age, we actually have to apologize for not remembering a TV show that we watched.
Yeah.
I refuse.
Yeah. It's like, oh, we don't have as good of a memory as the entire collective internet.
I
feel more bad than Brendan does because I kind of remembered it but didn't attribute it correctly. I was like,
it's way more your fault than
I knew. I'd seen it somewhere, but I couldn't
remember
exactly where.
That made me feel more guilty that I didn't give it proper credit, so I'm sorry, too.
Joe, do you have a favorite Judge show?
Well, the thing is, it made me feel bad because I actually really like Arrested Development, and I haven't seen it in years. But I was like, man, that's a bummer to rip them off. Anyway,
and that's a fandom entirely based around not putting quotes around your quotes. Like, you just have to drop the line and let it sit, right?
Yeah.
And then not getting that just makes us look like fucking squares, man.
Yeah, totally.
Fucking squares.
Such a nerd. I'm totally shamed. Second of all, we got the
get off the fucking soundboard.
Sorry, soundboard. We had finger snaps if we want to do slam poetry
second
later.
Second of all, we
doesn't apply.
We got so many emails about the Danzigs where you can type something in and then it converts it to Danzigs, which is like, maybe I'm missing the joke, but Vince and I agree that it's like the least fucking funny thing.
Whoa.
Like, enter a number, and you enter in like 27, and it's like, that's 12 Danzigs.
Wait. Yeah. Have you tried entering like skull death fuck?
No.
Because that might be the joke, right? If that's like a billion Danzigs, that's kind of funny.
As far as I could tell, it's just entering a number that converts it into Danzigs.
Yeah, I think it's like a random number converter.
Yeah.
Wait, fire this up. You guys keep talking. I'm going to look at
it. It's not that interesting. I don't want to look.
Yeah, it's really lame. So anyway, we got that one a bunch, and it was like really not funny. Yeah. But thank you anyway. We appreciate the emails, guys.
Don't let that take away from sending us anything Danzig related, because in general, it's better to see it than to not see it.
Right.
You know, Danzig like lives in like a creepy ass house in Hollywood and fucking sits on his porch and drinks beer and talks to people.
And he has bricks in his front lawn.
We've been over this
apparently. Are you near there?
No, but
are you in the shower?
A comic friend that goes by there and like lives super close, and he says that dude just hangs out. He's all fat now.
Are you taking a bath?
No, I was washing my hands.
Yeah, we got I forget who brought us the story, but yeah, apparently Danzig had a big pile of bricks.
It was
in his
Justin Halpern from Shit My Dad Says.
Yeah, and so Danzig had a big pile of bricks in his front yard, and his neighbors kept complaining about it. And when they finally complained enough that he had to get him out of his front yard. So he was like standing out in the front of his yard throwing these bricks into a giant dumpster yelling like, are you fucking happy now? So that was
good. Awesome.
What do you think he was going to build?
Oh, I don't know.
A pile of bricks.
Probably like
it's already built, baby.
Probably like a little pen for his cat.
We got an email from Feck. I don't know if anyone actually finished it. It was
I did.
Like,
I got
I
about.
It. I read it.
It was like,
fascinating.
It was like Ulysses by James Joyce. I couldn't even read all of it.
I thought this is fantastic.
It was a good email. Feck has been a Frotcast guest, but in the end, it was a little too long to read on air. We did get a question, and I actually kind of like this, and I think we should encourage this. I like the idea of people writing into us for advice, because we're the last people you should be writing into for advice. So
by
I think
last,
this is,
you mean first.
Yes, and yes, exactly. So we got a question from Mark, whose email is under a different name, which I really like. Hello, Frotcast.
Are you allowed to say his name? Did he say you
I'm
could?
Guessing that he signed the email Mark because he doesn't want us to use his real name.
Oh, okay. Fair
right.
enough.
Right.
Mark Tim Smith.
Yeah. So he says, hello, Frotcast. I have a potential sex etiquette question and would rather not ask some pickup artist douchebag. I would prefer to ask a Frotcast douchebag. There's a girl in my class, and I get those awkward, nerdy love pangs for her. We study together, and we were really vibing? ? In parentheses. I don't know. She laughs at my stupid jokes, and I'm pretty sure I can make a move. She gave me her number, and we were doing internships at the same place over the summer. But, of course, she has a boyfriend who doesn't go to our school. Should I live by the mantra of, just because there's a goalie doesn't mean you can't score? Thanks for the help, Vince, Brendan, Ben, and possibly Lindy. Sorry, Brett.
Does that hurt?
He doesn't want your advice.
I don't get an intro. Sorry. I don't get a give it.
I got pretty good advice, guys. I know a lot of stuff about girls. Just because I draw squirrels, sometimes I like to meet a nice girl, too. Hey.
So I think my advice to this guy is, short answer is like, yeah.
Yeah,
of course you can score if, even though there's a goalie. The question was, can I still score even if there's a goalie?
My advice would be...
What sport are you even talking about?
I don't know.
Hockey, I believe, or soccer.
Hockey or
something
soccer.
With a goalie.
Possibly lacrosse.
Yeah.
Could be any number of things.
My advice would be this, which would be to sort of make it clear that you would do her, but that you don't have to. Sort of like you want her to have you as an option, because if she has some long-distance boyfriend, she's probably going to break up with him at some point.
Well, listen.
But the thing is, she's going to get turned off if you're like, you know, beating down her door and being all weird stalkery.
Yeah, don't stalk her. Don't sleep outside
Just be the cool guy at the office that she thinks, oh, I could probably fuck that guy if I dumped my boyfriend.
There's a lot of room for interpretation here. So first of all, obviously they're in college. And so, I don't know, girls with long-distance relationships in college generally, you know, they don't stay faithful. That's just in my experience.
Sometimes they'll go on a date with you. Sometimes they might even agree to go to a formal with you, and they won't do you because they have a boyfriend. But at the same time, they'll hook up with one of your friends who's a douchebag a few days later. In my experience, I mean, this is just sort of a generalization, not really based on any personal experience or anything.
This is taking a strange turn.
Hypothetically, this person also couldn't put a shirt on the right way because they were too drunk and kept throwing shoes at everyone, shouting that they were socks. They were socks.
Hypothetically, you might not want to get really, really drunk to where, yeah, but...
Look, Mark, this is Lindy. The best way... The best way to this chick's heart is to burn her house down.
No. So you take her cat, and you cut its head off, and you mail her the head, but then you write a note about how she'll get the body back if, you know.
You bang her.
Yeah, basically.
Pass her a note in class that says, I might fuck you.
Like, I don't even get a, fuck you, Mark.
Joe, do you have any advice?
I don't. I just always tell dudes like that, just, you need to just get this girl drunk and then try to fuck her.
Yeah, that's what I was. Yeah, don't like take her out to dinner. Just go out for a couple drinks.
No dates. Just try and do fun
things. Like, hey, we have the same internship. I'll buy shots.
Yeah, me and my friends are going to this bar later. You can come if you want.
If you want, whatever. I mean, I'll probably be hanging out with other chicks. But if you want to come,
if you're with a chick that you want to fuck and you get her like shit face drunk. And you don't fuck her, then you can't fuck her.
That's
right.
That's a rule of life. I think that's in the United States Constitution.
I think that was wasn't that a chapter? And he's just not that into you.
right after all Japanese chicks love bukkake. Chapter two.
If she's Japanese and she doesn't love bukkake, she's just not that into you.
God.
All right, and then I gotta say, definitely email.
That's our advice for this guy. I think I gave pretty good advice.
I would real advice.
Don't take her to formal.
No, not that part. But be. I would say, you know, be available and be fun, but don't be the guy. Don't make it like you need her to date you.
I would go out for some drinks and just sort of see if there's any additional.
I've dated chicks that were long term boyfriendy, and generally chicks don't. Don't go for a single period after they hop right directly into the next dude. So you need to not fall into the friend zone. Like, just hang out and be the slightly unavailable guy, right? Mm-hmm. Always be talking about your sick parties and actually one, go to sick parties and then be talking about them and then being like, oh, so many sluts all the time.
Or just make some stuff up about this crazy thing.
Yeah,
just,
well, mostly lie. I guess
I was skiing and all these sluts started doing me in my Porsche.
Rolling down the mountain and
weird.
Onto my dick.
Yeah, have you ever heard of getting a blowjob while going down a mountain? It was weird. Girls kept coming up to me. I didn't know how to react.
If I had a girlfriend, I could probably reform my mad dog ways, but...
That is a weird thing where if a girl is unattractive and she convinces you that she has all these hot dudes vying for attention, it wouldn't mean anything to you. But I feel like... with the girl that does actually work on some
absolutely.
Subconscious level.
Yeah.
Yes. What other women want?
Women are too insecure to look at things objectively.
Wow,
interesting way to look. Yeah.
But they also instinctively hate all other women, and so if other women want this dude, they want to beat out these other women.
Yeah.
Like, I'm better than these other women that are vying for this guy, and so they want. It's like a kill or be killed.
The Bachelorette or the Bachelor, I suppose.
Yeah.
Bond or be bondaged.
Bukkake.
I don't know.
Or be bukkakied.
My short advice is long distance boyfriend in college. Go for it, dude.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think this is the email of the week. This is from John. He says, "Hi, fraudcasters. I'm a new listener to the cast, and after listening to some listener emails, I figured the story is right up your alley. My girlfriend and I bought a pug about a year ago, and we've never had any regrets about picking up this little guy. The only real quirk about him was that this little guy knew how to jerk off. At first, it was hilarious. I just kind of looked at him while he did it, and every once in a while, our eyes would lock with me, and feeling somewhat introspective, holy shit, he's just like me, and him not feeling anything except absolute pleasure. He would do it almost anywhere, too. Mostly when he was bored, he would sort of cross his front legs and hump the hell out of him. This went on for probably about a month until I got a call at work from my girlfriend. John, he did it again, she said, but blood came out this time. After I get home from work, I take him to the vet, and the first thing they had me do is explain what was wrong. It's very hard to not laugh when explaining that your dog not only knows how to beat it, but also that he beats it so fucking much that blood is coming out. I wanted to hold him up like Simba and yell, "My dog comes blood!" with a little sticky note. With a little sticky note. Thank you, thank you. With a little sticky note attached to his junk that says, "Please fix," smiley face. My dog and I get into a room, and eventually the vet comes in. I explain everything, and he tells me that he might have a prostate problem. Great. The vet starts gloving up his hands and putting some lube all over his finger. He has to have a prostate exam. The dog, not the vet. Not only that, but he's not going to sit still while a strange man shoves an index finger in his hole. So I have to hold him still. This is extreme prostate probing. My dog looks at me confused. I mouth, "I'm sorry," to him as the finger plunges in. The vet roots around in his little doggy butthole until he seems satisfied. Get that soundboard away from him.
That's what the doctor was saying.
Turns out he's got an enlarged prostate. We get some antibiotics and sign him up to get neutered a week later. Hope you enjoyed this, John. Oh, yes, we did. We did enjoy that.
I like picturing him looking at his dog very sad, where while he mouth, like the dog could understand, "I'm sorry," if he said it out loud, but then him mouthing it.
Right.
He's a lip reader.
I think there's a little bit of like a weird kind of like bestial undertone going on there.
I just think that a pug, if you stick a finger in its butt, its eyes poke out like a squeeze toy.
Like a stress ball thing.
I had to house sit some pugs, right? And they're likable, but not... Well, they're entertaining, but not necessarily likable.
They're almost like cats.
Well, they're dumb as fuck, right? But they're clumsy dumb, and that's sort of like, oh, man, you just don't know how to live, and you're built wrong.
Yeah.
They had these floating stairs, you know, that come out the side so you can see straight across. And all the pugs would run up to get food except for this one that apparently had to be carried up the stairs because it didn't understand how they worked. And so I was like,
very complex.
I was like, "Oh, I'll fix you. We'll teach you this lesson right now." And I set it on the stairs, right, because it's staying at the bottom. And instead of, like, you know, moving forward or moving backwards in fear, it just like slowly Bambi sprawls out until it's laying there. And so I eventually had to pick this thing up. And then so we take the other one to like go for a walk or something, and it's in the car and it's on my lap, right? And it just fucking rips this crazy fart. And then it, like, looks between its legs like it's terrified. And then it looks at me like, "What the fuck, man?" Like, "Don't look at me, bro."
That was the biggest fart he'd ever done. They don't normally do it.
Because they're dumb little guys. Looking.
Yeah, dogs get scared of their farts sometimes.
It's hilarious.
It's really funny.
It's...
All right. I get scared of my farts sometimes, too.
I get scared of your farts.
Yeah. You look around like, whoa.
I could see a pug coming blood making a really cool Affliction t-shirt.
Yeah, I like that.
It has maybe some wings on it, too.
No, there's yeah. like a dragon coming out of the blood, but it's also made of blood and glitter.
Oh, yeah.
Blood and glitter. That should be all the business cards for everyone who works at Affliction. Blood and glitter, bitch.
Yeah. Blood and bedazzles.
Supposedly they're toning it down. I like how they give Joe Rogan like a black button-up to wear on UFC, but then it just says it's like embroidered in Affliction on the shoulder.
It's also got all the other crap embroidered on it, doesn't it? Like all the, no, it's like textured,
it's
isn't
it? It's silk screened or something.
Yeah.
I think it's usually black on black because Rogan's probably like, yeah, I don't really want like a yeah. dragon queefing a bobble on my face on yeah. my t-shirt. But
dragon queefing is a really big thing in the MMA world now.
It is. Do they queef fire?
I think it's mostly smoke.
It's probably really sulfury because of the...
Oh, just rotten eggs?
Fire in the belly, yeah.
Dragon queef.
Yeah.
Well, they do. I mean, they have to make baby dragons.
Oh, my
do
God.
Do they, though? Do they really, Ben? Couldn't they just stop?
Do you remember Reign of Fire?
Yeah, that movie's awesome.
That movie was pretty good.
Every 3 years, Hollywood makes a dragon movie.
Yeah.
They had a new one coming out. I forget what it's called.
How to Train Your Dragon?
Oh.
Not that one.
Hey, can we talk about your...
Enter the Dragon?
Can we talk about your post on the pastor who
yes.
tried to tell everyone he's a Navy SEAL, and then like he told everyone that like he was a Navy SEAL, and then he got in a bar fight, and then they made him a cook. He lifted yeah. it straight from under siege.
Yeah,
Joe, are you familiar with this? Do you know this pastor?
No. What happened?
This guy, his name's Jim Motes. He is a pastor in Newville. Somewhere near Harrisburg in Pennsylvania. And so after the Osama assassination, the local paper was looking to do like human interest stories on military people, and they found this dude who runs a church who has been saying he's like a retired Navy SEAL. But of course they found out this guy's not actually a Navy SEAL, and he's been lying about it because there's a big database. Like, this is pretty easy to find out.
There's that many of them.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to find out when the guy's not a SEAL. So it's pretty hilarious to go back and read the shit that he was saying before they found out he wasn't a SEAL. And like, here's my favorite section was, instructors hit SEALs and goaded them to quit. This is basically all based on this guy's information. He was subjected to waterboarding because the Navy knew that's what the Vietnamese did to SEALs and air crew members who were captured.
Side note, no they didn't.
SEALs were kept going for days with little sleep. The instructors would lie, promising sleep or a break, but when the time came, it wouldn't happen. Motes grew accustomed to the physical part because he was in good shape. The mental barrages were more grueling. Quote, I had almost no discipline. I was as wild as they came. That was my nemesis, Motes said. They weren't looking for a guy who brags to everyone that he is a SEAL. They wanted somebody who was ready, but had an inner confidence and didn't have a braggadocio attitude. In August,
if there were one thing that I had to say about me that wasn't modest, it would be that I am far too handsome to be a Navy SEAL.
Is that does that disqualify me?
Is that because modesty was on the application and
I'm
got
very
it,
modest?
I've got that shit in spades.
In August 1971, Motes got into a fight in a club. He went from Navy elite to dishwashing as part of a mandated quote attitude adjustment.
I'm just a cook.
It would be awesome if he told the story when his aircraft carrier got hijacked.
Yeah.
But I don't really keep track of space and time too well.
It reminded me of in high school, I was in a creative writing class, and we had to like pair off in teams and like read each other like the stories we'd written. Mm-hmm. And the kid across from me had just copied the story from Con Air.
Really?
Just for some reason, it's
and
still
then
so
there was
funny
a guy named Cyrus the Virus, yeah. And he's on the plane too with this guy Cameron Poe.
Did you ever see that one SNL sketch where I forget who was the teacher, but it was like a poetry class, and every kid
it was
comes
Chris
up,
Elliott,
and they keep coming up and reading like AC/DC
lyrics yeah.
and stuff. Yeah,
like Van Halen. Yeah, it was Chris Elliott.
I'm always curious when this sort of lie, when you can't stop it. Like, what's the point of no return? When, you know, he told one person and then it was probably containable. And then at some point it's like, oh, yeah, here's our pastor. He's so awesome. He was a Navy SEAL.
God's been watching you the whole time. You are fucked.
Well, I like how he thought he could
God
keep it up.
God does not approve of you pretending to be a Navy SEAL.
Even when he was
SEAL.
Putting it out like to a reporter on the internet.
Yeah. At what point?
Well,
yeah,
that's probably like, the lie has gotten so big that the people, internal people, the little boys he's raping and his church constituents, they don't fact check that stuff. But once it's out on the internet, you know, that's when the fact checkers really get you.
It just goes to show you like how sociopathic you have to be to keep perpetuating a lie like that. Because what did he think, his kids weren't going to read it? Did he think
his kids knew?
I know, but it's like
that's why they
but
had
he
to
did
die.
It anyway. Why didn't he just decline? What yeah. He could have been like, no, the real SEALs don't talk about that stuff. I don't want to do the interview with you.
Don,
my modesty is too overwhelming.
Yeah.
Don Shipley, a retired SEAL who lives in Chesapeake, Virginia, said he is one of a few former SEALs who are entrusted by the Navy with maintaining the database containing the names of all SEALs. The database cannot be accessed by the public. Motes was never a SEAL and had never set foot in Vietnam, Shipley said. The information can be verified through a Freedom of Information Act, blah, blah, blah. Shipley called Motes on Saturday night to confront him about the issue. We deal with these guys all the time, especially the clergy. It's amazing how many of the clergy are involved in those lies to build that flock up, Shipley said.
Whoa.
Shipley said Motes' story about being reassigned to kitchen duty and about being waterboarded were lifted from the Steven Seagal movie Under Siege, while his reference to being hit by SEAL instructors was vintage G.I. Jane. I like how this guy just, oh yeah, that's the G.I. Jane story. Vintage G.I. Jane. Did he say he had his period and some breast implants while he was doing push-ups?
Almost got kicked out for it, bro.
You mean you're telling me the guy who goes on TV crying and saying I'm going to hell if I don't give the church my money, he lies?
Weird,
he's
right?
Lying to people.
He went to Bob Jones University also, so
that's a top-notch school. Joe, if you had to pick a lie to live and tell people from a movie, what would you think you'd choose?
Good question, man.
That's a great question.
That's a good question. If I could live a lie from a movie.
I got one.
Rats of Nim.
Okay, you go first.
All right, Vince.
Groundhog Day.
You would say that you're...
I don't get how that works.
I'd
who
be
are you
like,
lying?
I'd be like, oh, girl... we've been vibing on you. I've been vibing on you for like 3 years. I know it just seems like we just met yesterday.
Dude, I think it was like a decade.
But for real, I'm in love with you. And I've been reliving this day over and over. And it's just killing me that I can't get up in there.
They released the...
Trust me, I'm stuck in the same day. Just fucking trust me.
Yeah.
They dumped the director's notes. And he's supposed to be in there for like 10 years.
What do you mean?
In Groundhog Day. He's been living that day for like 10 years.
He was.
Yeah.
So, and? What is your point?
Oh, I don't... When you're like, oh, I've been doing the same day for a year. It's like, well, that's the sad part.
He fell in love with it.
I could be early in the Groundhog Day plot. I mean, you know, I don't have to be necessarily.
I think I would
That's where they're going to catch you. That's where the fact checkers are going to get you.
She's
going to
be like, why
can't
you play piano and shit? Why haven't you learned that I like 15th century French poetry?
Here's what I like. I think I really like Kyle Reese from the Terminator movie, from the first Terminator.
Uh-huh. Oh, so you're from the future? I like
that. Yeah, because obviously no one can fact check you.
That's true.
So
it doesn't exist.
It gives you a lot. It gives you a lot of flexibility.
You can dress sort of like
a
hobo.
Yeah,
you can borrow clothes and run around and be a little crazy and be like, hey, robots are coming. We should probably
just yell at people. Come with me if you want to live. Yeah.
Side note:
different people like change it up. So you're like, you're out. You.
I'm living my whole life in this manner. So like, you know, yeah.
Oh God, how do you choose, Brendan? How do you choose who lives and who dies in the future? That is a burden I would not want to bear.
The robots choose mostly.
Right.
I don't want to derail this discussion, but
Joe hasn't answered yet.
Okay, sorry. Go. Well, that's gonna make this obsolete. What I'm saying.
All right, go ahead.
Shoehorn it in there.
So talking about wearing weird stuff. I was having a conversation.
When were we talking about that?
Yeah, no
good
point.
Segue.
No, he was talking about
dressing
what
like
you'd
a
wear if you're from the future.
You just
I like the old conversation.
And you know how like hipsters kind of dress like as if they're from... Well, usually it's from the past, but...
It's sort of a combination of eras, I feel.
Yeah. So we're standing there having
they
a conversation.
Dress like they're from the past vision of the future.
That's true. Yeah. So we're standing there having a conversation outside this coffee shop being like, can you imagine if... You know, like hipsters, if you're a hipster enough, you could just walk up in like a tri-corner pirate hat and
we're
just
rock hanging
it.
Out. We're just hanging out in this coffee shop talking about how stupid hipsters are.
Oh, okay. So ironic.
To be fair, we're signing up for an open mic, so it was like 20 comedians standing around. And,
yeah, because that's. Fuck you.
Anyway, so we're basically talking about how a hipster could come up wearing, you know, one random piece of clothing that, you know, like a pirate hat or a football helmet. And just play it off like it's completely normal. And as we're talking about this, we look across the street, and there's a dude wearing a black dress Like that goes down to about knee length, and then Doc Martens, and over it he has like a red tuxedo jacket with tails, and he's just walking down the street as if it's the most normal thing in the world.
Hipster or hobo?
Oh, he was definitely a hipster.
Oh, wow.
Was he wearing black, plastic black frames of glasses with no lenses?
No, he seemed a little more goth.
Because that infuriates me.
Yeah.
I would think, Joe, is there a lot of that in L.A., the plastic frames of a glass, of the glass with no lenses?
I would pick the movie Jack. Yeah. The one with Robin Williams where he's like a really large child.
Yeah, so you're like an 8-year-old?
Either that or like Encino Man. So I could like shit on stuff or something, like throw my poop or something, and then people would be like, no, he's been frozen in ice. Just leave him alone, okay?
I like the Jack one because you're going to be like, ew, vagina, that's so scary.
Or sort of like, so it's sort of like Big, too. You could say...
Yeah.
Like, oh, yesterday I was a 12-year-old boy.
Or 13 going on 30. You know?
Pretty much any movie ever is...
No,
or Freaky Friday.
What was that movie where Sean Penn had the heart of a dead man? I feel like I could use that to get pussy, too.
It's 25 grams. That man. Movie... So,
oh, 21 grams?
21 grams? Yeah, it's... What's his face?
Yeah.
God,
I feel
I'm
like
useful.
I could use that.
I forget what that guy's name is, too. But, yeah, that movie bugged me because it was just
it's
I'm going to make you sad.
It's babble and all that jazz.
I do like the pretending like yesterday you were a 12-year-old boy. That one would be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Vince, I saw Vince do stand-up last night. It was good.
Yeah, speaking of black horn-rimmed glasses, there was a lot of those.
Speaking of you at a coffee shop signing up for an open mic.
Well, this was a bar, okay?
Look, man, I work on the internet, all right?
I thought my favorite joke was the guy who went to school with you guys, who did the Danny Glover opening a pizza place.
Yeah.
Going like that, yeah. I'm too old for this pizza.
I'm too pizza for this shit.
I'm too pizza for this shit.
Yeah, I like that.
I thought that was the best one. And then I complimented him after the show, and he's like, yeah, you have to smoke a lot of pot to like that one. And I was like, I don't smoke at all. He's like, oh, you should start.
I think it was more that he said three words, and we immediately knew that he was doing it. You know, Lethal Weapon thing, whereas everybody right. else was like, I'm confused by this non sequitur.
Right. It was pretty good, though. The quality was good. I'm used to seeing Vince at open mic nights where Vince is funny and everyone else is terrible. We were talking about there was this one night. It was 30-something comics,
yeah,
wasn't
Brainwash,
it?
Every Thursday in San Francisco. It's a laundromat. / restaurant / coffee shop.
So
mostly laundromat.
And there's maybe like four people doing laundry, and then there's 35 comedians on an open mic.
And 12 people there to see him.
Yeah. At the most. Yeah. Absolute most.
Right.
How many of those weird scarf things are there?
It's not like hipstery. Like comedians are not very hipstery. They're just weird and wildly.
They can't dress. Yeah.
In wildly different ways.
Well, we went one time. This is years ago when Pluto got demoted from – it got, like, its planet status, like, taken away.
Oh, that was a rough time for all of us, Brendan.
It was. And, like, every single comedian – or, like, I don't know, probably half the comedians were, like – they would get up. They'd be like, y'all heard about Pluto? Man, what's up with that? Pluto is, like, the black dude of planets. Like, every single joke was, like –
It was bizarre how many Pluto jokes there were. Joe, what is like the most hacky comedian premise that you? I mean, you've been doing a lot longer than me.
Well, I saw like actually like probably one of the hardest I've ever laughed at a show where no one else was laughing, but I was like dying in the back with one of my friends. It was at an open mic, and this one black dude like got up and he was doing bits. But, like, the premises made absolutely no sense. But, like, he kept going with them. Like, he'd be like, you know how bitches that drink milk got them big titties? You know what I'm saying? Like, you drink milk and you get them big titties. All those bitches with the big titties. I love it. And he was, and it was just fucking, it was amazing. It was like, what? Why do they drink milk and their titties get big? I don't understand what the fuck you're talking about. Like, none of the premises made sense. And everybody was just shit, and you could just see the audience looking around like, what the fuck is he talking about? but it was incredible.
I love those, and I love the ones where like you wonder if the guy forgot the entire meat of the joke, or he does this observation that's just like two lines that makes no sense, and then he just moves on to the next thing as if it's a joke or it's like the most normal thing in the world.
Just a quick observation and on to the next.
Or they'll be like super fucking rehearsed to the point where they'll do the thing where they go, "You guys are laughing now, but nobody's laughing." You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
This happened. You guys are laughing now, and nobody's fucking laughing. Yeah, that's my favorite.
Joe, what's the worst place that you've ever performed stand-up?
I don't know. It was funny. I had a friend that offered me to go play a Borders in Palm Springs this weekend, and I was like,
wow.
Yeah, dude, I think I'm going to have to fucking cancel. He's like, no, it's good. And he's like newer to stand-up. He's a funny guy, but he's like newer to stand-up. And he was like, he kind of sold me on it. And then later I was like thinking about it. I was like, no, that sounds horrible. And like, how are we going to do our set in like a Borders? And I guess he went and did his set. And some old man, there was like 20 kids in the audience. And some old man came up to him afterwards and was like, "There's kids here. How dare you tell those jokes?" But it was like super loud, and so everybody in the audience wasn't laughing at the comic that was currently on. So they just all turned around and watched as this like old man yelled at my friend, like fucking. So that was probably pretty. But I would say I did a one time. I had a pay gig where I went in, and it was actually like it was a Christmas party for the employees of a bar, but it was like this fucking sketchy bar like in downtown San Diego. And I went in and there was just six people there and they were fucking shit-faced drunk. And I ended up doing stand-up for them. And there was a homeless guy there. And
as there should be.
Stand-up for him. But I did my whole set because they weren't paying attention. So what I did is I just took my pants off. I did my whole set with my dick hanging out. I just was like basically talking about how small my dick was, and they were like really happy about that. They liked that.
Well, you played to your crowd.
Yep.
Yeah, I won't say his name, but what was he talking about when he had gotten the male manicure thing, and then he like convinced the guy that...
I have no idea.
He had some... One of our friends had talked about getting a manicure, and then it had somehow
like spun it into like hosting an event at this nail salon for men, so that men could get manicures, and then like he also got like Benefit Cosmetics involved to like give gift bags for guys to give their girlfriends and all this stuff, and he was just like talking, and I was like trying to do the lean away.
I was just so confused. I was like, "What are you talking about?"
I don't know what he's talking about.
And he's
about
like,
either.
"Dude, you could do stand up there." I'm like, that sounds I don't even know.
I've done a lot of nail salons. Its acoustics are not ideal.
Yeah. Yeah. My more literary material just goes right over their heads.
Just not. What sort
I think,
of. What sort
yo,
of,
what's the deal with cuticles, y'all?
I think my favorite part about last night was it was like a bunch of really most. I mean, it was a bunch of like white comedians who were like all kind of nerdy and they were funny. It was actually a really good lineup. But then finally, the last guy was like this black dude. And so he totally tried to do like the. Like he was like working through like the black community, like where are my ladies at? Where are my ladies? And it's like all a bunch of nerdy white people in the audience, and like no one saying anything.
Yeah, I knew before he went up. I mean, it was on Haight and Ashbury in San Francisco,
literally on the corner of
very
Haight and Ashbury.
Very like alt comedy room, and then they got you know like the black dude who does like broad comedy.
Yeah,
and I, even goes, before even before
yeah, you guys like you didn't ever notice how. Girls that drink milk got
their
big motherfucking titties.
He actually was funny. I didn't think he was unfunny.
Killed in a different crowd.
Yeah, but it was so funny to see like the different interaction. Whereas like, and then it also got me thinking about the whole like, yeah, where are my ladies at? Where are my ladies? And then like all the girls like, hey, which is like so funny to me because it's like, What are you special? Like,
there you are. There you are, my lady.
There you are. Yeah. Half of the population.
Yeah.
Not where the fellas at. Okay, there you are. Other half of the population.
It was pretty much
glad
the
we recognize that
exact opposite. Like over the weekend, you know, I did. I was in Fresno doing some comedy with my buddy that does comedy in Fresno, and it was the exact opposite.
Fresno, hit the button. It was hit the button for Fresno.
I don't even have it on the right
page.
Pains
you. It pains you to do it. For your hometown, that's what I make.
Yeah.
Oh, it's delicious.
Is that us?
No, I don't know. Maybe. I don't think it is, though.
What are you, schizophrenic?
No, but...
are we making that sound with our mouths?
If that dude,
is that taken from an old broadcast?
If that dude had been in Fresno at the place, at the restaurant I did comedy at, he would have just destroyed. There was one guy who literally did the bit where he's talking about how... newscasters try to pronounce Spanish names all Spanish.
Oh, they'll be just that was a great normal sketch on Saturday Night Live in like 1988.
Yeah, pretty much.
Jimmy Smits was the host.
Yeah, and
that's how much it's dated. Jimmy Smits was the host.
Yeah, and but he would have killed there. But yeah, in front of a bunch of people with the black Buddy Holly glasses,
right?
Like,
right.
I don't know about this. They have to decide whether to laugh. I like how I did that one thing where I was talking about being allowed to say fag, and I knew as soon as I said the word fag, all the fucking air would just be sucked out of the entire bar, and it pretty much was exactly like that.
I don't think it was that bad.
It was, but I just knew because I knew it was like, all right, I have a point to this story. They're going to be on board with it, but I just have to fucking power through and act all confident about saying it because I knew as soon as I drop it, I definitely heard like a few gasps in the back.
That was me.
Joe,
I was offended.
What's that like for you? Because you're, I don't know, you definitely have some
stuff.
Am I
the only person that thinks Muammar Gaddafi looks like Carlos Santana?
You are not alone, my friend. You are not alone.
Same hats, too.
I was looking at a picture of the guy. Same I thought glasses. It was fucking Carlos Santana.
I like reading all the stories about how much work he's had done to his face.
Santana or Gaddafi?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe both, but Gaddafi for sure.
Santana lives up here. I was walking around
him at breakfast
in North Beach, and yeah. I was behind this dude with really greasy hair. I was like, "Who is this? Who is this anachronism walking down the street?
Who's this guy with a Les Paul strapped to his back with greasy hair?"
It's a Paul Reed Smith that Santana plays.
My bad.
With you know, eagle pearl insets on the.
We were talking to some Germans in Vegas, and our friend who's like super outgoing was just like. Yeah, you know, because, you know, these Germans are in town to fucking see Carlos Santana. I was like, oh, yeah, sometimes he eats breakfast at the place I eat breakfast at. And he turns around to the Germans. He's like, this guy fucking knows Carlos Santana. The Germans look at me, and I'm like, yeah, I guess I'm going with this. I don't know. Yeah, we're best friends.
You know Carlos Santana? That's great.
But Joe, what's the worst experience you've ever had where you do – some sort of joke where it's completely wrong for whatever room that you're playing to?
I have a joke about like the premise is, do child molesters have standards? Like, are there kids that they're just like, they won't fuck, you know?
Yeah.
And I did that joke, and I didn't know it at the time, but like,
wait, hold on. I remember this bit. It's like, how'd you guys hear about Bob? Yeah, Bob fucked a fat kid. And then Bob's like, what? I was drunk. Sorry, yeah. I remember that bit.
You're just going to tell his jokes.
Yeah,
now.
I am.
Jump in front of his joke.
He wasn't going to do it, so I had to do it. Yeah, anyway. But did I misstate the joke at all?
No, that's good. You did it right.
Yeah, all right. Continue. Right.
Yeah. And so I did that joke, and I didn't know it at the time, but it was like a benefit for teachers at the comedy store. Uh-huh. And so immediately, dude, it was just fucking like the most hateful boos you've ever heard.
Really?
It was like boos that you would hear in like Salem when the fucking witches were like brought it like just like fucking we hate you. We're gonna stone you But I was able, yeah. So that was the worst, and I had to get off the stage.
Wow!
And
you got yanked.
I had another joke about
literally boot off the stage. Did they just not get? I love when people don't even really get the premise. It wasn't like you were saying it was good to rape kids.
No, that's what I said. No, that's what I said. I was like, I know. I was like, by the way, guys, nobody actually like. that wasn't a real kid that the guy fucked in my joke. You know, and I started like,
I know that fat kid.
Kid that got fucked.
That fat kid was me.
Yeah. Sorry. And what was the other thing you're saying?
Oh, and then I had another joke about how, it was like about how I didn't feel bad for the Iraqi children that were dying because they weren't Christian or something, and it was clearly, you know, supposed to be illustrating the fact that, like, people just seem to be insensitive to the fact that we're, like, blowing people up because of the fact that they're just, like, you know, they're not, like, white Christian people. And, but there was, like, these fucking, like, military guys, but they were, like, kind of, like, anti-military guys in the audience, and then they fucking started screaming, like, fuck you, motherfucker. Like, they just wanted to fight me right there. Like, I thought they were going to kill me. And luckily, I had a bunch of friends in the audience, so they, like, kind of got in between me and these guys. But they were, like, just fucking drunk. I mean, you know how it is in San Diego. It's just a bunch of drunk Marines, like, looking for any reason to just stab you with a broken bottle in the throat.
It's funny because I remember that joke, and I remember seeing you do it and being behind this weird guy in a chase shirt who clearly didn't understand the joke at all and was really pissed about it. That's, yeah. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You can't fucking say that.
And so wait, how does the joke go?
It was just, I talk about how my girlfriend was looking at pictures that they don't, like, release on CNN, and it was pictures of, like, charred Iraqi children from, like, the bombings and stuff, and she's like, don't you feel bad for them? And I was like, I would if they were Christian.
So is the joke but that you don't have a girlfriend?
They're pagan babies, and that was the joke.
And that, I didn't realize I was performing at a church benefit, and it didn't go over so well.
For pagan babies.
Yeah, but I mean, there's
performing at a mosque.
Like, I've seen people that have, like, innocuous jokes get, like you know, our my friend Justin Decker doesn't really do very, you know, super, like, edgy or, controversial jokes. And I've seen, like, people, like, one time this dude fucking jumped on stage. By the way, this guy I'm talking about, like, couldn't be a more fucking, like, just completely docile and innocuous person. He just is absolutely the most non-threatening dude ever. And some guy fucking, like, ran up on the, I don't remember what the joke was, but this dude, like, ran up from the back of the barn, like, jumped on stage and just started fucking yelling at the guy. And I had to, like, run up on stage and be like, you need to get off the stage now.
It is crazy that comedy is one of the few things where the audience feels like they can interact and do. And part of it, I'm sure, is, you know, at least at certain times, makes it a little more fun. But there's no other times when people get, they want to go laugh, but when they don't find it funny, they feel so offended. Like, how dare you say something like that?
It makes you angry to not laugh. And there's a weird, it's like you're kind of encouraged to react, but then not really. It's like, yeah, like, if I want you to answer positively, like, go woohoo. But like, in asking for audience participation, you also set yourself up.
All right, look, we're going to include you mongrels. So if you could maybe put a hat on and shave, that'd be great. Yeah. And answer only when you're called upon. Thanks.
I was watching this one guy at this really bad open mic that I do every once in a while, where it's like a big cavernous restaurant and there's never more than 10 people there in the entire place. And so, you know, then it's going to be obviously terrible, because no matter how funny you are, 6 of those 10 people aren't going to be paying attention. And then
2 are comedians. They're not going
to
laugh.
Yeah, yeah. And then, so, you know,
you're down to 2 maybe.
Best case scenario, you have 3 people laughing at you, which isn't very loud unless it's the fucking funniest joke you've ever told.
Or it's 3 Brendans laughing at fecal transplants.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Joke about poop. Woo!
So this one guy was going up.
See,
and
Joe knows what's up.
And his jokes were terrible. He was not funny at all, but he started getting heckled by this group of, like, overweight chicks in the front, And for some reason, his jokes were bad, but his comebacks to heckling were fucking really good and really like pointed and mean. And it took no, you know, very slight heckling to get him there. And he's like,
maybe they were Confederates.
Yeah. And he's like, hey, is there a sporting goods around here, the store around here that sells athletic clothes for sumo wrestlers? Because there's like this fat Asian chick sitting in front of him. And, you know, it's funny because like in the comedian's mind, he thinks that this really good put down is going to shut down a heckler, when really it had pretty much the exact opposite effect. He pretty much whipped these chicks into a frenzy where they basically just drummed him off stage,
frothing at their gravy dripping from their mouth.
Just, he like ran from the stage
frothing
with his
at
tail,
the jowl.
With his tail between his legs. I was like, oh, those are some good comebacks, but I probably wouldn't have done that.
Buddy, you should do only comebacks. Yeah. Ditch the jokes.
Who wants to insult me? I will destroy all.
It's like the person guessing your weight or something.
Fat.
Yeah. Did you guys see the last South Park with FunnyBot?
No.
Oh, yeah. It was very funny.
Where are you from? Long Island. Does everyone in Long Island have hair like pussy, you dipshit?
Joey's going to put you out of business.
Joe, stop paying
what
attention.
Happened?
Did you see... Did you happen to watch the South Park episode from last week where they had... The Germans were deemed the least funny country, and then they came up with FunnyBot.
Completely true, by the way.
They came up with FunnyBot, which is a robot comedian that killed wherever it went. But it just was basically putting random words together.
Well, the Germans are so unfunny because they like their whole culture is based on like following very rigid rules and like not crossing lines or not doing what is unexpected. So, like, which is obviously a lot of what comedy is like crossing lines and doing what's unexpected. So you, like, do something like, I don't see why that is funny. You know, like, it was, like, also. Like,
Brendan, they thought your sandals were pretty funny.
They did think, they didn't think they were funny. They just liked to stare at them. Oh. It was, like, 90 degrees. I was wearing flip-flops. And everyone looked at me like I had a dick growing out of my
forehead.
That's
weird because Finland is that way in the same way where no one, if the light. If they'll be standing at a crosswalk where there's no cars coming, you can see like 100 yards in both directions, and no one
Germans
will cross.
The same way, yeah.
No one will cross if it's red. But Finns are fucking hilarious. It's
really?
Like there's like a weird Scandinavian thing where they're funny, but also they're very standoffish with outsiders. But yeah, it's funny like that. My friend Dan was he was like the only guy that spoke English in this office full of Finns. And so, like, they would have to speak English while he was around. Or they wouldn't have to, but they would just to be nice. And at one point, the two of these guys were building him a desk. And you know, just two random Finnish guys building him a desk. But because he was in the room while they were doing it, they decided that they should speak English while they're putting his desk together. So the one guy is, like, underneath this other guy while they're, you know, trying to build an IKEA desk, like slide slot A and blah, blah, blah. And the guy on the bottom is like, okay, now push. And he's like, wait, what? Push? He's like, yes, push. And so the guy does it, and basically like a giant piece of the desk falls and smashes this dude in the face. He's like, oh, shit, I meant pull. And the only reason they were speaking English was because he was in the room.
That would be a bummer.
If I had a nickel.
Yeah.
Joe, what's your funniest story about saying push when you should have said pull?
Well, actually, that is... Go ahead, Joe.
No, I was going to say maybe that's why the Germans hated the Jews, is because the Jews are responsible for so much comedy.
Could be. They have a very distinct outlook on life.
Yeah, it's one reason among many.
I would say white people are a lot less funny than other cultures.
Oh, well, I think it's like kind of the American like puritanical thing where we're like descended so much from like just
fucking
uptight,
Calvinism, man.
Uptight assholes.
Fucking Calvinism.
Yeah, exactly.
No one fucking takes offense to jokes like white people.
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous. We feel left out.
Almost every time you tell a joke where people get offended that it's racist or sexist or you know, homophobic or whatever, it's almost always a white straight person that gets pissed. Like
Christian.
99%
well.
Of the
yeah.
time.
Jews like to laugh.
Super yeah. majority, baby. Super majority.
My sister listened to a broadcast. She's like, Ben tells a lot of Jew jokes.
I have a pass.
Yeah, I did get reprimanded for using WAP in a post or something one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. White people like to be offended. I think they sort of enjoy, like, that offends me.
Yeah.
I want to be included in this offense. I hear the minorities talking about this last week.
A lot of grandstanding involved. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you get on your high horse, you feel kind of important. It's probably the first time people like that have felt important in a long time.
Speaking of grandstanding, after I saw Bridesmaids tonight, and I thought it'd be different than the trailer.
No, it's two bad ones for him.
But there is one character where she's literally
encourage the bad segues.
She's literally like every lesbian stereotype. But
so hold on, Bridesmaids is like The Hangover for women.
Yeah,
sort of.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Just not funny at all.
No, it has its moments. It's,
whenever you go to the high pitch, that's usually not.
I did high pitch it. I didn't hate it, but I definitely did not love it.
You Jay Leonard it.
I did.
It was okay.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
But there's one character where she's a complete lesbian stereotype. Like, she's into dogs. She's got a van. She's, you know, she's like pants. She's basically like a Bull Dyke stereotype. She's got a newsboy cap on, and she talks about getting in fight clubs and stuff. And, of course, they made her straight. And, like, the only way I can read it is, like, they had this character who was a lesbian stereotype, but at the last minute they're like, oh, I don't know, this is going to
be too offensive.
This might be, you know, too stereotypical. Let's make her straight. And now it just doesn't make any sense. And it's sad because it's probably, like, the most interesting character in the movie. But, yeah, one of those things where it's a late addition.
Why people be all like this? Nah, how dare you offend me? Man, 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 man.
Yeah, they're worried about too many letters. The letter writing campaigns will still get them. Finger snaps. Brendan almost had one to Iron Maiden.
I did.
He almost started a one-man letter writing campaign.
That's from Frotcast 3.
Might have been like number one or two, but... Yeah. Yeah, you were threatening
those fuckers.
Letter writing campaign.
I was so pissed off.
You had an email that you pulled up a second ago.
Oh yeah, I did, and it was that actually was segue, but not anymore.
Sorry, I stepped on it.
Well, it was. It's titled O Wa A A A, which I will not try to do.
Like O H. Oh Wa A A A.
It's titled that. Like it's that. Titled that. And so Jeff, he says Menace to Sobriety, but he says, so.
I'm supposed to say his name.
Well, there's.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, Jeff.
Jeff, they've caught on to you, Jeff.
Jeff, direction. Hide.
You're on, you.
Jeff, go into hiding. I apologize. I have let the world know who you are. So Jeff says, so I'm idling at a stoplight the other day, and I'm still buzzing from your legendary. Oh, wow. Legendary broadcast featuring poop transplant shenanigans. Heady stuff.
It was a good one.
Brendan loved every second of it.
I did. I listened to it twice.
Heady stuff there,
really?
Gentlemen.
No.
Anyway, what? Bodies had just finished up playing on the local Stone Age rock station. I instinctively turned the radio off and began rehearsing Vince's now infamous tagline, Masterpiece, at the top of my lungs.
Pause for a second. He's confusing Bodies by Drowning Pool with Down with the Sickness by Disturbed, for the record, but that's okay. We don't have to let that. We don't have to let that grind this to halt. I just wanted to point out that he's.
Are you segueing? Is that what's happening now? Or are you switching to a different topic?
No, he's confusing.
I can't tell. He's so bad at them.
I know.
He's confusing. He said Bodies, but what he means is Down with the Sickness. Sorry,
right.
Continue.
All right. He says years before I had perfected Mr. Anderson from Beavis and Butthead. So what could stop me from channeling Drowning Pool? Talent, opportunity, something's got to give. Indeed. This beautiful Asian woman slowly creeps up on my right and peers over to me, over to hear me yelling, see me yelling.
What?
He's yelling this at the top of my lungs over and over again. With my phlegmy nasal voice, it must have sounded like two teenage baboons finger cuffing a termite mound.
I like that image. Thanks, Todd.
Especially if one of the baboons isn't really into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like,
oh, I don't know why we decided to do this.
They're horny because they're teenagers.
I don't even like this termite mountain.
It looks
she's kind of a skank.
I just saw your monkey dick.
Also, she's full of termites.
When I noticed her, she quickly...
Dude, all porn stars have termites. I learned that when I was in the porn business.
Blu-ray taught me all.
You see Blu-ray. Every porn star has termites.
You don't see it on YouPorn.
You think, dude? You fucking fags don't think every termite mound has termites in it. You guys are so immature.
If you see Blu-ray, you can actually see the termites.
You guys are so naive. You can't even. Wouldn't even know.
You see the termites.
You should probably finish reading.
Oh. When I noticed her, she quickly looked away and rolled up her window. Then she hurried ahead and turned right, effectively changing her route so as to avoid me even further. Thanks for ruining my chances with my future ex-wife, film drunkards. I heard they have sideways vaginas. Sideways, brah. Love always. Menace to sobriety. I enjoyed that.
Is that true, Joe, about the sideways?
No.
Is it like diagonal or anything?
It's a little bit, it's a little coffee colored.
Okay, to be expected.
Would that be brown?
Yeah, it's like teriyaki color.
Fair. I don't have anything to add to that. I wish I did. I want a yes and there, but...
I'm
worried.
Just let it stand on its own. What?
I'm worried about where it's going to go.
Are the herpes the same color?
They're like fish row.
Oh, man.
All right. Do we need to put this one to bed?
I think we do.
Yeah. Joe, anything else that you wanted to discuss?
I'm going to be at South Comedy Hole tomorrow night.
That wasn't a made-up name.
Joe Rogan and Doug Benson. Did I already say that?
Sorry, Sal's Comedy Hole when?
Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, Doug Benson, Joe Rogan.
That's Wednesday.
That is Wednesday
in L.A.
May 11th in Los Angeles, California.
No, not there, baby. That's my comedy hole.
No, but at 8 o'clock.
Who decides? I don't know. I'm always baffled by the names of comedy clubs. Like up here, we have Rooster Tea Feathers, which is
like, well, they're not going to know it's funny unless it's funny.
Unless it's
like you can just see
McZany Cooters,
the Ha Ha Hut,
barf funny barf.
Yeah, it's either
barf funny barf would actually be a cool one.
It's either so over the top funny, or it's like you could substitute a mattress shop in there. It's like Bill's Comedy Van. Tommy's
will rape you.
Tommy's Joke Hole.
Comedy Hole is pretty good.
Yeah.
Sal Comedy Hole is pretty amazing.
That's better than I can do for that one.
What if you had like Sal a dramedy hole and you had a bunch of stand-up dramedians?
It would just be like a mumblecore movie once you go in there.
That one guy last night who was chewing gum, which was totally obnoxious, he was like a dramedian. He was like, everyone's going to die. Everyone here is going to die.
Ethaniel's dramedy hole.
Where his shtick was...
Oh, Ethaniel, you and your scarves.
Where his shtick was acting like a methed out homeless person, that guy?
Yeah, that guy. He was a dramedian.
Interesting.
He practiced...
I couldn't follow what he was saying.
Stand-up dramedy. Oh, he was whacked out of his mind. He had no idea what he was
doing. I couldn't tell if that was his shtick or if he actually was whacked out of his mind.
Either way, it was not good.
Yeah.
Meth is pretty big before you do stand-up comedy these days.
It's probably like, if he was on something, it was like pills. It was downers.
Well, he was downing. He was downing, but he was doing the thing that you do when you're on uppers where you grind your jaw after you say words.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was doing that.
It's interesting.
I don't do that. What? Nothing.
We're just looking at you because you're there.
Oh. That's because I had bugs in my skin. That's totally not what's going on right now. I am perfectly free of bugs.
Well, speaking of plugs.
Lindy, it's okay.
If you're in San Francisco and, you're in the North Beach area of town, I'll be at the Purple Onion this Friday.
Oh, look at this.
Oh,
hey.
I got shit to promote,
your
too.
Your plugs
what's
suck
up now?
More than your segues.
Yeah, well, whatever. Joe is plugging. I'm plugging. We're just plugging each other.
Plugging each other's comedy holes?
Wait, hold on.
You and another orangutan go plug Termite Mound's comedy
plug
hole.
Plug Sal's comedy hole.
Sal's termite hole.
He's
got a prolapse comedy hole.
You would have to say that on the radio. Yeah, you want to plug Sal's comedy hole? No, thank you. I'm out.
Well, Joe, thanks for coming on.
Joe, thanks for plugging Sal's comedy hole.
Hey, thanks, guys. Love you guys, too.
This guy is plugging my comedy hole. Oh, no.
Was Sal Mexican?
Have you ever met a guy named Sal who wasn't
Mexican? Yeah, dirty Italians.
That's like true.
I don't think he's a Mexican.
Salvatore.
That place is actually really fucking awesome.
Why you plug my comedy hole? Hey.
Nah, make it about cabbage or I'm out.
Hey, the elephant is stealing my cabbage. Who gotta pay for a salad's cabbage?
Sal pick this cabbage himself on the field. And now Sal don't got no cabbage to sell.
I love it when it's about cabbage.
Mama gonna be so disappointed.
How mama gonna make the pizza pie with no cabbage? Her spaghetti, she no work without a cabbage.
There's no cabbage in spaghetti.
Or pizza.
I guess you could order
Mama, she cannot make a lasagna without the cabbage. How is she going to do that? She slap on my face. She going to beat me up.
Joe, thanks for being on. Brendan, take us out.
I think he hung up already. No. Do we have a new, what's their new one? Something about poop? Transplants?
Oh, it was...
I almost spat, Dave.
It was a masterpiece song.
This is the longest sign-off ever.
Yeah. All right. Keep the emails coming. They're really good this week. And sorry, anyone else? Brett?
I was just making sure you got the right closing thing.
Brett, do you have any squirrels?
No, I got it.
You got it?
Do you have any drawings of squirrels to promote?
Hey, I'm drawing squirrels for 17 hours a day.
Keep checking out my Xboxes.
Guys, include me in the emails, I guess.
Yeah. It's Brett with one T. Keep sending the emails. It was a good week for emails. We'd love to get more this week. And until next week, make them take logs.
Poop logs.
Make them poop logs. Oh, shit.
Make your pug come blood.
What?
We're going to make your pug come blood.
Oh.
That was Joe.
I don't want to say that.
Do the poop logs again.
Yeah.
Make them poop logs. All right, film drunkards, until next week, make them poop logs.
Na-na-na-na.
Na-na-na-na.